Fury of the Resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing the inner meanings of Negro life, based on the theme of New World A-Coming, the title of Roy Otley's book. Today's program features the star of Bloomer Girl, Celeste Hall, the star of Carmen Jones, Muriel Smith, the star of Anna LaCosta, Hilda Sims, and the star of New World A-Coming, Canada Lee, in a factual story written and directed by Mitchell Grayson. It actually happened.
Right at the start, let's get this straight. I'm white. My name is Barbara Layton. I'm a researcher on the foreign desk at Newsweek magazine. I tell you this so that you may know something about me. I have no axe to grind one way or another. I'll just give you these facts as I observed them, and as they happened to me beginning one rainy night last March, when I stepped off the sidewalk at 116th Street and Broadway. The green traffic light was with me. The rain was coming down in buckets. I didn't hear the automobile that was approaching. It struck me head on.
Oh, Frank, a woman's been run over by a car.
I saw it. The car must have thrown her 20 feet before it stopped.
Oh, come on, let's go over and see if we can help her. I may be able to give her some first aid.
I killed her. Gee, lady, I didn't see. I didn't see, honest. The rain. I didn't mean to hit you with the car. I didn't see you. Tell me, are you all right, lady?
Hey, you the driver of the car?
Yes, I was driving.
Don't lift her. Leave her where she is.
I know, but it's wet on the ground. Maybe she should be taken somewhere where out of the rain.
I'm a nurse. Leave her where she is.
Listen to her, mister. You'd better call an ambulance.
All right, yes, boss. I'll do that right away. All right.
Okay. She's unconscious, Frank. Her pulse is weak. It'd
be a miracle if she ever survives.
Take off your coat, please, and give it to me, Frank.
My coat?
I'm sorry to ruin it, but may save this woman's life.
I'm grateful to that nurse. She probably saved me from worse internal injuries by preventing my being moved before the doctor arrived. And as for her escort's coat, well, it probably saved me from getting pneumonia. Now, when an accident occurs on the street and the victim is either unconscious or unidentified, New York City regulations require that such person shall be taken to a city hospital designated for the area where it occurred. That's how I found myself at Harlem Hospital, where 90% of the patients happen to be Negroes.
You have all the information you need, nurse?
Yes, doctor.
All right, then I'll put this music box canteen hostess card of hers back in her purse.
Lucky she had it with her.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a difficult job identifying her without it.
Yeah, you'll be sure to telephone her brother, won't you, the way it says on the card?
Yes, Dr. Adams, I will.
Well, she's all yours.
I'll wheel her over to the elevator.
I wish this rain had let up. I've got two more calls to make. Listen to it coming down. Tough night.
Miss Hanley.
Yes?
Miss Hanley, this patient is Barbara Layton. She's to be taken up to X-ray. Dr. Walters already knows about it, and he's ready for her. After X-ray, you'll take her to third floor ward, bed 36. Dr. Adams' instructions are to keep her wrapped in warm blankets, and Dr. Walters will tell you what else must be done.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all, Miss Hanley.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, let me see. What else must I do? Oh, yes. Telephone her brother.
I had regained consciousness in the admittance room, but at first I wasn't able to move. I lay on the stretcher, my eyes open, staring at the white ceiling overhead with a single dim light halfway down the center of the room. The place had an air of quiet, efficiency, and good management about it. But the one thing I shall never forget about the entire night, the voice of that nurse in the admittance ward. I'd never had a chance to see her. She stood behind my stretcher during the whole time. But her voice was a wonderful voice, rich and beautiful, and absolutely assuring. It was this same voice which gave me the distinct feeling that whatever my injuries were, I had fallen into good hands. Never at any time after that did any doubt arise that here I would get well. Next morning when I awoke, my brother was at my bedside. He'd brought Dr. Potter, our family physician, with him.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Ted.
Well, good morning, Barbara. Oh,
Dr. Potter, what are you doing here?
Oh, just came to pay a friendly visit. When our little girl Friday gets run over, I think it's the right thing to do, don't you?
You know where you are, of course.
Harlem Hospital, third floor ward, bed 36.
Yes. Well, Barbara, I'm going to make arrangements to move you to another hospital with better accommodations.
Why?
Well, you'd probably like a private room better, wouldn't you? Instead of a ward with 35 other people.
I'm all right here.
Oh, Ted, I don't know whether we can move her yet. It may not be advisable. That is, medically speaking.
What do you mean, Doctor?
Wait a moment. Here's Dr. Walters with the X-rays.
Oh, good morning, Miss Layton. I see you're awake.
Good morning, Doctor.
Dr. Potter, I wonder, could I speak to you outside?
Why, yes, of course. You'll excuse us, won't you, please?
This way, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Barbara, about this hospital, will you feel comfortable here? I mean, there are 36 other people in the ward.
What are you driving at, Ted?
Well, Dr. Walters undoubtedly is a very good doctor, but...
You mean he's a Negro?
Oh, I'm certainly not squeamish on the subject, but I thought if you were, then...
Barbara, Ted, Dr. Walters has just shown me the X-rays.
Tell me the worst part, Dr. Potter.
It's really not bad. You'll be up and around in a little while.
How serious is it, Doc? Barbara can take it, I think.
Serious? Well, not really. She just won't be able to be moved anywhere for at least 4 weeks. The X-rays show a broken kidney.
When one moves into a strange town, unintroduced, often the first acquaintances are among the immediate neighbors who live and work nearby. One of mine was a student nurse, one of the all-Negro staff of nurses who live and work at Harlem Hospital.
I'll be through in another minute, Miss Layton.
Oh, this sponging feels wonderful.
I'll help you turn over on your back now.
Easy. Easy there. How's that?
Fine. Did it hurt much?
No. No, not at all. You've got wonderful hands. I hardly felt it. They're like magic.
Oh, thank you.
What did you do before you decided to become a nurse?
Oh, I studied typing and shorthand at business college.
And you gave that up for nursing?
Mm-hmm. You see, I've always wanted to be a nurse. But we never had much of a chance to go into this profession before the war. White hospitals don't, as a rule, employ colored nurses.
That's a shame. They don't know what they're missing. Tell me... what kind of training do you get here?
The same as all other nurses get at all other hospitals. No difference. There. That's all. Feel better now?
A lot. Thank you. What about the work here? What do you do?
Well, we're up each morning at 6, make beds, clean, wash and scrub everything. We're always at the hospital. And at the end of the day, we're pretty well knocked out. Then after all that, we start working all over again at night with our studies. We attend classes, and then we do more studying. How'd you like to be a nurse, Miss Layton?
No, thank you.
But really, I love my work. The day I graduate, I'll be the happiest girl in the world.
When will that be?
In 4 more months.
You know, I just thought of it. I don't even know your name.
Vera. Vera Hanley.
Hanley?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you're the girl who took me up to be X-rayed the night I had the accident.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I recognized your voice.
And I put you right into this bed, too. I gotta go now, really. I'll fall behind on my work.
Miss Hanley picked up a washing bowl and a handful of trays and walked smoothly out of the ward. In the next bed to mine was an elderly Negro woman. Mrs. Richards was her name. She was blind and diabetic. She'd overheard our conversation, and after Miss Hanley had gone, she laughed gaily and said...
I couldn't help hearing what that busy little nurse girl said. She must be very pretty, I think. I can tell from the way she talks.
She is pretty, very.
Maybe when one of my boys comes home from the war, I'll ask her over to my house for a visit.
And I'll bet she'll come, too. By the way, Mrs. Richards, have you heard anything more from the boy who was wounded in Italy?
Not a word. Nothing since the last letter.
Well, cheer up. You'll get another letter soon. Mrs. Richards had 3 boys in the armed services, 2 in the Navy and 1 in the Army. The Army lad was wounded in the Italian campaign. She was more concerned about him than anything in the world. Dr. Walters gave her a great deal of attention and tried desperately to save her legs from being amputated, but there was nothing in medical science that could prevent it. Yet she smiled day after day and was always warm and friendly to all of us. I admired her greatly. The days passed quickly, but, well, not too quickly for me. Then one morning, Dr. Walters, in his regular round through the ward, stopped at my bedside.
May I see Miss Layton's chalk, please, Miss Hanley?
Here it
is.
Yes,
Dr. Walters.
So you've been with us 17 days now, huh, Miss Layton?
17 days. My goodness, it seems a year. Oh, I don't mean that the way it sounds.
No? Well, then, suppose you explain.
Oh, well, now you know what I mean. How would you like to be on your back and just doing nothing for 17 days?
Well, I tell you, I'd like it very much. But you're making fine progress, Miss Layton.
Well, you're partly responsible.
Thanks for the compliment.
Doctor, may I ask you a direct question?
Surely, surely, go ahead.
This hospital, from various newspaper stories, well, it had a sort of a poor reputation. Not enough beds for patients, clinics overcrowded, unsatisfactory working conditions. You know what I mean.
Yes, yes, I've heard those stories myself.
Well, are they true?
Well, what's your opinion?
Well, I found the services here exceptionally good.
Well, frankly, Miss Layton, we have some excellent doctors and nurses, too. But, of course, old city hospitals are overcrowded, and, well, since the war, there aren't enough doctors and nurses to go around. Another thing is that we suffer from inadequate equipment up here. If the city increased our budget, our clinics could be enlarged. We'd have better equipment, and we could take better care of more patients. Of course, all that's up to the city. And I'm only an intern. Oh, here comes Dr. Adams now.
Well, there she is, looking bright and chipper as usual. Get a look at the pink cheeks on that girl, will you, Walters?
Yes, yes, I know she gets better looking every day.
What are you up to now, Dr. Adams? You must have some bad news for me.
Bad news? Golly, no, now, don't you start getting suspicious about me. I'm your friend, see?
Anytime doctors show up at a patient's bed with a smile from ear to ear, beware.
Oh, that's only storybook doctors. We're city interns.
Speaking about storybooks, are you going to write about your experiences here?
Well, I haven't thought about it, but it's an idea.
Well, you'll have to send us an autographed copy.
Yeah, that's if you don't write about us as villains. In all seriousness, though, Miss Layton, Dr. Adams and I do have some news for you.
There you are. You see, I knew it all the time.
Well, we talked about you this morning at our doctor's conference. And all of us agreed that a cast would help you get better in considerably quicker time. You see, we have a new doctor here who's an expert at it. He's had the best training that any doctor could have. He's worked with a student of Lorenz, the great Australian specialist.
Oh, and when did this discussion take place?
This morning.
Oh, well, must I have a cast?
Well, we think it'll help your recovery a great deal.
Who's the doctor?
Dr. Greenberg.
Mm-hmm. He's a little dynamo and he knows everything in the book.
Oh, I see. Then all this has been decided already. Is that it?
Yes. Yes, it has. 2:00 this afternoon.
Promptly at 2:00 that afternoon, I was wheeled out of the ward on a stretcher and taken to the operating room. There were several doctors there. 2/3 of all the doctors at Harlem Hospital are Negroes, the rest are white. All of them are highly skilled professionals, serious and extremely devoted to their work. Dr. Greenberg went to work at once, methodically and skillfully.
All right, nurse. Now, Barbara, we're going to hang you.
Now, what have I done to deserve that?
We hang you up so your spinal column will be absolutely straight. But we'll place a chair back on each side of you so you can steady yourself. And you'll stand on tiptoe.
What kind of a shape are you going to give me, hourglass or violin case?
I'm going to give you the kind I like best.
Is that plaster going right onto my skin?
Mercy, no. Here's your wool jersey sheath. I'll step out while the nurse puts it on.
She's ready, Dr. Greenberg.
Good. Now, nurse, have ready the plaster of Paris bandages. When I hold out my hand, dip one in the water bucket and hand it to me. I'll do the rest. Felt. Arms back. More felt. Plaster. Stretch. A little more. That's it. We'll be through in a few minutes. More felt.
Yes. Stretch. Yes, Dr. Greenberg was the wizard that Adams and Walter said he was. In 10 minutes, he'd wrap my body in a cast from my shoulders to my thighs. But then, weak from the slight exertion of movement after 17 days on my back, I fainted. The doctors expected that. They were prepared for it. So I was allowed to rest, and soon I came to again. When the cast dried, I felt stronger and better. I was wheeled back to the ward and carefully put back into bed. Mrs. Richards raised her voice slightly and said,
"How do you feel now, Miss Layton?"
"Oh, better, thank you."
"Does your cast hurt?"
No, on the contrary, it feels comfortable lying down this way. Makes me look 3 times as big as I am. I noticed there were some tears on her cheeks. She'd been crying. I said, "Are you all right, Mrs. Richards?"
"Yes, I'm fine."
"Are you sure?"
"Yes, I'm sure fine now."
"Well, I was wondering what it was that..."
"Miss Layton."
"Yes?"
"You know, while you was gone, I got a letter from my boy, Willie."
"The wounded boy?"
"Yes."
"You did? Oh, how nice. Is he better?"
"He don't say much about himself. He's more worried about me. He's a good boy. A good boy. I'm mighty proud of all my boys. They're all good boys.
They must be."
"Miss Layton."
"Yes?"
"If you're well enough, now only if you're well enough, could I ask you a favor?"
"Surely."
"I got Willie's letter right here under my pillow. Would you read it to me, please? I already had it read to me once, but I'd like to hear it again."
"Well, if you want me to."
"Would you please? Here's a letter.
February 12th, Lincoln's Day, somewhere in Italy. Dear Mama, today is a funny kind of day. Lots of wounded fellas are lying on cots, but most of them are on the floor. All of us are out of the war for a few weeks, maybe, or months. It's Lincoln's Day, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And it makes me think of how way before I was born, people were fighting for freedom. And now, over here, I got a leg wound in another fight for the same thing. Only this seems like it's bigger than anything else that ever happened in the world. Well, I suppose it's because I'm part of it, that's why. You can be proud of our race, Mama, to know that we're fighting very, very good. General Eisenhower said that we made very good fighters. I'll be okay, Mama, in a few weeks, so don't worry about me. I want to know how you feel. Take care of yourself, and let me know how you're doing right away. Don't bother about sending me anything except maybe a picture of yourself. That's all I'd like to have. And get well, your loving son, Willie."
"God bless him. God bless him."
Mrs. Richards wasn't the only one in the ward who had boys in the service. Other Negro women and 2 of the 4 white women had sons or husbands in uniform. The volunteer librarian who brought us newspapers, magazines, and books 3 times a week one day dropped the Negro newspaper on my bed. And from it I learned that Negroes have a higher percentage of men in the army than whites. That is, in proportion to the population. Gave me something to think about. Well, time moved quickly. And on the 27th day of my stay in the hospital, the day before I was scheduled to leave, my brother and Dr. Potter came to pay me a final visit.
Oh, how long have you been sitting up, Barbara?
2 days now, Dr. Potter. I've been walking as well.
Well, I'm awfully glad to hear that.
That's fine, Barbara.
Only thing is this cast.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, nothing. It's just so big and bulky. I'll never be able to wear a pair of French heels till it comes off.
Well, I'm told you'll only have to wear it about 6 weeks, Barbara. But by the way, I'd like to have a look at it, may I?
Certainly, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Well, Ted?
Yes, Doctor?
This is one of the best jobs I've ever seen.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. Couldn't have done a better job.
Barbara, you have no idea how glad I am the way things have turned out.
What do you mean, Ted?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was a little concerned about how you were going to find this hospital.
I never doubted for a moment that I'd get well here.
I was worried.
About what?
Oh, the doctors, this ward, the people.
Ted, I'm a very lucky girl. The doctors and nurses here are really superb. And the people? Well, they're no different than any other people. As a matter of fact, I had a very good time here. And except for the pain, I enjoyed every minute of it. I think if anyone's unfortunate enough to meet with an accident and is brought to Harlem Hospital, he can be assured of the best medical care and attention. This is a good hospital.
I'm convinced of that now.
Oh, Barbara, How do you feel about leaving tomorrow?
Oh, all right, I suppose. I feel strong enough, and I'll be glad to get home and back to work again.
Well, you're almost entirely recuperated. That's what we all wanted, isn't it?
That's what we did.
Exactly.
On the next day, when the time actually came to leave, I had mixed feelings about it. I felt I'd been in a friendly place, that I was well cared for, and that I'd had an experience which I should never forget. And that I had definitely gained something from that experience. Dr. Walters, Dr. Adams, and Miss Hanley came out to the outpatient exit to say goodbye.
Well, Miss Layton, time for you to leave, huh? You've been here long enough, don't you think?
Oh, so you're rushing me out of the hospital, eh?
Oh, no. You know, we've really liked having you here, and, well, we hate to see you go.
Oh, now you want me to have a relapse, I suppose, not get better at all.
You're pretty chipper, aren't you?
Oh, really, Dr. Walters, you've been very helpful, and I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, come back and see us again sometime, Miss Layton. We'd like to see you.
That goes for me, too, Miss Layton. We'd all like to see you again.
Thanks, Miss Handler.
Your cab's waiting outside, Miss Layton.
All right, Dr. Adams, I'm coming. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is your cab driver, Miss Layton. He's very careful, and he'll get you home safely.
Oh, Lord Almighty. A white lady coming out of Harlem Hospital. That sure is a rare sight.
Take care of her, cabby. We don't want her back again.
All right, funny man. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Take your time now, lady. Take your time. We got all the time in the world. Easy. Easy. That's it. There you are. You're comfortable now?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Then here we go. Back there, miss.
Okie dokie.
How'd you like the Harlem Hospital?
Very much.
Did they take good care of you?
Couldn't have been better.
Oh, that's nice. How'd you like our Negro doctors? Are they good doctors?
Better than good. They're excellent.
Oh, it's good to hear you say that. How was the food?
Food?
Yeah.
Well, hospital food is all right, but there wasn't much fresh fruit.
Oh, driver! Huh? Driver, wait a second. Back up, won't you?
Well, what is it, miss?
Oh, we just passed some wonderful-looking strawberries on a fruit stand.
Strawberries?
Yes.
Okay, I'll back her up here. There you are. Would you like some of them?
Oh, I certainly would.
Well, then, for you, lady, I'll go and get them right away.
You've been listening to Celeste Holm as Barbara Layton, Muriel Smith as Mrs. Richards, Hilda Sims as Nurse Hanley, and Canada Lee as Dr. Walters, in an actual true story, Inside Harlem Hospital, written, produced, and directed by Mitchell Grayson. This program was based on the theme of New World A-Coming, the title of Roy Otley's book. Music by James Lizzito was conducted by Jerry Sears. Duke Ellington composed the theme. Next week, New World A-Coming will present the life and music of W.C. Handy, starring Lee Whipper, in the title role and John Kirby and his orchestra. If you would like tickets for a broadcast of New World A-Coming, write to station WMCA, 1657 Broadway, Zone 19, New York City, and they will be forwarded to you at once. This has been a public service broadcast of WMCA. This is America's leading independent station.